Occasionally when I'm reading the Bible, I come to a verse that compels me to stop reading. And I become fixated on the verse as if it were God Himself speaking to me. Colossians 2:6 did that to me recently. Colossians 2:6, Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." Paul's statement begs a certain kind of reflection. How did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember a time when the proverbial light came on? Do you remember a time when your heart felt what John Wesley describes as a warmth? Wesley says, "My heart felt strangely warmed." Do you remember a time when you began to count everything that you had previously held valuable in your life, and you regarded that as rubbish in comparison to the surpassing value of Christ Jesus your Lord? Do you remember a time? Do you remember the day when you received Christ? If you do, can you remember how you felt in the early days of your Christian life? Do you remember the joy? Do you remember the humility? Do you remember the gratitude? Do you remember the zeal? Do you remember the hope? Friends, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. We all know we just had Valentine's Day. And we know that besides the commercial aspect of buying and receiving gifts of food and flowers and the like, Valentine's Day is centered upon relationships. How we get on with those closest to us. And as I began to reflect about the nature of relationships, I realized that there's a common metaphor. We often use the metaphor of fire or warmth when we talk about our relationships. I often hear married couples talking about keeping the flame afire. Or if there's been a backstep or a backslide in the relationship, you hear the metaphor reframed and you talk about rekindling the fire. And what we're doing is we're using this metaphor of fire to describe how we began in our relationship. Because our understanding is that when it comes to a relationship, if we can continue in the relationship in the same way we began, we'll be in tremendous shape. We talk about the honeymoon period, and we mean it's a time of passion. It's a time of your partner can do no wrong. It's a time when you're on fire in your love. And the challenge is to continue in the way you began. And I hear Paul saying that. I hear Paul saying that our Christian walk will be greatly helped if we can maintain the passion we had when we began with Christ. If we can keep the passion that we have for Christ in our earliest days. Paul goes on to employ some imagery to help us. The key, as I see Paul saying, to continuing in our Christian life in the way we began, is to be rooted in Jesus. Paul's words, not mine. The key to continuing as we began is to be built up in Jesus Christ. In other words, Christians need to stay close to Christ. We need a constant connection, a constant proximity to Jesus if we're to grow and progress in our relationship with Him. And it's not just any kind of connection. It's not any kind of proximity. I love the imagery here. Rooted. It's not a flimsy connection, but a deeply rooted connection with Jesus that we seek and long after. And it's not any foundation, but we're connected to Jesus Christ, the sure foundation. Staying close to Jesus is one of the key ways to continuing in the manner we began. Again, to pick up on this relationship analogy, we've heard the cliche, and I'm not sure to what degree the cliche is true, but we all know it. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I've never really found that to be the case. At least, maybe if you're away for a few days or a few weeks, you have these longings to see that person again. But there's a sense in which the relationship doesn't actually grow when there's absence. We need personal proximity to grow in our relationship with others. We need to spend time with people. We need to be earnestly engaging them in dialogue. We need open communication for a relationship to thrive. Knowing this, we shouldn't be surprised when we find that Paul prescribes the exact same thing with regard to our dealings with God. I hear Paul telling you and telling me, stay close to God. Stay connected to Christ. Stay rooted in Him. Pray. Study Scripture. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. So what happens when we're connected to Jesus? Why is this such an attractive and necessary thing for the Christian? What do we get from being in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I regard the answer to be awe-inspiring. First of all, Paul says in verse 9, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In other words, Paul is reminding us that Jesus is fully God. He is not a shadow of the Heavenly Father, but He is one with Him, fully God. But then listen to this. This is the part that really draws us in personally. Paul says, and you have been given fullness in Christ. You have been given fullness in Christ. Now, there's a danger in interpreting the second part the same way we interpret the first part. The first part seeks to communicate that Jesus Christ is equal to the Father in heaven. The point of the second statement isn't like that. Paul isn't saying that as Christians we become like Jesus Christ while on this earth. No, I mean, we grow in Christ-likeness. There's a movement, hopefully, towards Christ-likeness. But we cannot say that we are exact replications of Jesus Christ. So what is Paul saying when he says that we've been given fullness in Christ? I think Paul's saying that Jesus completes us. Jesus completes us in Him, in Christ. You and I have the opportunity to become that which we were always intended to be. Let me give you an illustration of this, or an analogy, that will hopefully help us to appreciate what Paul is saying. Picture yourself standing on the beach facing the Atlantic Ocean. Now here we are in the middle of February, so let's picture it's Delray Beach. We're nice and warm, the sand is between our toes, and we approach the Atlantic Ocean with a pint jar in our hand. It's an empty pint jar. And we stoop down and we lower our pint jar, and a wave comes in, and the jar is filled with the Atlantic Ocean. But we would never say that the jar contains the fullness of the Atlantic Ocean. We would merely say that the jar is full of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, friends, this is what we get from Christ. we are incapable in and of ourselves of having the fullness of Christ within us. But we do have Christ's fullness filling us up. We do have the fullness of Christ transforming our lives. And this is the reason, the fullness of Christ completing us, this is why we ought to regard ourselves as being fully equipped. Now, I don't mean to be unkind. I merely want to reflect the Scripture's statements when I tell you this morning, this world is not fully equipped. Our government, any government, is not fully equipped. But the Church of Jesus Christ is. Your local service club is not fully equipped. Your local branch of sorority or lodge is not fully equipped. But the Church of Jesus Christ is. We've been filled up. We've been given, Paul says, the fullness of Christ. He says that to no other group, no other body of people, but only those who have received Christ Jesus as Lord. It is this group that has the ability, the unique ability, to carry out God's will to the fullest degree. Friends, if I have any amount of confidence in my ministry, it comes from the reality that Paul is describing here. Because Bryn McPhail is a flawed individual. Bryn McPhail is weak. Bryn McPhail is prone to err. He gums up every day of his life. Do I hear an amen? However, when Christ completes what is lacking, when Christ fills up that which is near empty, it is then that you and I can do great things for the kingdom of God. And I am so thankful that my self-esteem or my lack thereof does not carry the day. I am so thankful that my weakness, rather than being a barrier to growth, uniquely qualifies me to gain the Lord's strength. Because as Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong in Him. Friends, in a few minutes, we're going to be singing that great hymn, Amazing Grace. And so often we think of that hymn in terms of the grace that saves us. The hymn that talks about grace that redeems us. We often talk about grace as being simply something in our past. Something that happened a long time ago, and so we reflect on that. But if you walk with the hymn from beginning to end, you see that grace has a much different character. Grace certainly has that past element where God saves us by His grace. But it also has a present element. It even has a future element. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Friends, if we want to talk about being equipped with God's power, we're talking about being filled up with grace. And this grace is not something we reflect on as merely a past element. God gives His grace in the past, in the present, and in the future, and it's all amazing. It is all amazing grace. And what I'm bringing before you this morning, what I'm serving you from Paul's letter to the Colossians, is a platter of future grace. When you go out from this place and you seek to engage in mission in this world, you, like I, need grace. And the grace from the past isn't going to fuel you for tomorrow. It's future grace. You don't have it yet, but it's available when you pray. The Christian has everything they need. And so we should ask the all-important question. What should we do? What should we do? What on earth am I here for? What does God want me to do for Him? Well, I can only answer that question for you in general terms. I can say with the confidence of Scripture behind me that God wants you to lead a holy life. God wants you to share the good news of Jesus Christ and His salvation. God wants you to build up and encourage other Christians. God wants you to extend healing to a hurting world. But again, those are just general categories. I want you to think now, each for yourself. What does God want you to do, very specifically? What's He calling you to? What is your personal mission? Do you have an idea of what that might be? If so, it is my supreme delight to announce to you this morning that whatever your mission is, whatever it is that God has called you to, you have been given everything you need to succeed and to thrive in that mission. Pick whatever metaphor suits you. You have all the necessary ingredients. You have all the right tools. You have all the appropriate equipment. As Christians, we are not limited by our natural means. We have been given the fullness of Jesus Christ. But now I want to bring you back. I want to bring you back to where we started. Because I might have all the right tools and never build anything. I might have all the appropriate equipment and never enter the competition. To do that which God requires of us requires passion. And I think that's why Paul references the beginning of our Christian life. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in Him. Here's the equation I see. And if you're ever going to write something down from this morning, I would write down this math-like equation. Passion for Christ plus power from Christ equals progress in kingdom service. Passion for Christ plus power from Christ equals progress in kingdom service. Friends, that's what I want. And I think you want that too. And the Bible tells us that we're capable. We're equipped. We can be the person we long to be. We can be the person we've been designed to be. And we can accomplish everything that God wants from us. If we stay close. If we stay connected. If we stay rooted. Friends, I want to borrow the words of the great missionary William Carey when I say to you this morning, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. To Him be the glory in us and in this church. Amen.